There's no mom manual. We all know that. So this is the place you want to be. To laugh, to learn, to share, to join. The moms couldn't be more different, but best friends, partners, and now family. Melissa is happily married.
Denise is happily divorced.
And they're parenting
worlds apart.
Their thoughts on many things, complete opposite.
Complete opposite.
Grab your friends and join the moms. Here's Denise and Melissa.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Denise.
I'm Melissa.
And we have a great show. We're really excited. Anytime we have a really incredible, smart, hardworking mom, especially in the tech space, it's always really exciting. So today we have the founder of Evite, which I don't know who hasn't used Evite before. And she's also now the founder. She sold Evite to Ticketmaster, and now she launched a new fitness app, which is so exciting, called Gixo, I think is the way to pronounce
it. How do you say that?
G-I-X-O. Well, we don't want to butcher it, but she's going to be joining us shortly. And that's really exciting. And also what's so exciting this week, Melissa, is our new partner on the Moms Podcast is Sunbasket. And so we're going to be trying it. We haven't tried it yet, but as a busy parent, it's hard to find time and energy to make sure you're eating well and eating right. Sunbasket makes it easy to cook healthy, delicious meals so that you and your family can eat better, feel better, and skip the grocery store at the same time. 30-minute recipes and organic produce delivered weekly. Sign me up. I mean, this is like perfect for me. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. Now you get more options than ever. Just go to Sunbasket app and pick from 18 weekly recipes. Easily cook dishes like fully loaded beef tacos with Mexican simmer sauce or your favorite Sunbasket recipe. You will choose your own. There are paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean, family options, and more. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh organic produce and reasonably raised meats and seafood. Everything is pre-measured and easy to prep. You can get a healthy and delicious meal on the table in just about 30 minutes. There's something for every healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. Here's what we want you to do. Go to sunbasket.com/moms today and learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/moms for $35 off. sunbasket.com/moms.
We should tweet that.
Yes, we should.
That's a good savings.
It's amazing. So that's really exciting. So it's a fun, fun week for us.
I need that. That's going to be helpful.
Yeah, you're going to try it. So I got to tell you something. I'm listening to our open and it was like, there's no mom manual. And all I kept thinking is, like, I was dying this morning when I ran into you at SoulCycle to ask you this question, because Jaren, over the weekend, my 13-year-old son, made new friends. Like, basically, you know, we live in New York City, so it's not like that everywhere, but I guess in different places across the country, kids congregate at, like, malls and shopping centers. But here in New York, usually it's, like, on the playground or you run into somebody on the street. And so he ran into a friend, and he decided to stay and hang out for a bit. And the next thing you know, he's like calling me, Mom, can my friends come over? I'm like, sure. You know, anytime kids can be in my home to me is safe and easy, right? Because I don't have to worry. And
yeah, I'm the house that
right. So I actually told him afterwards, I said, by the way, just so you know, like anytime you want to hang out here with friends, you are always welcome. But it comes with like little caveats, because he's not really always welcome, because last night they came back at 8:30 last night. And it's a school night. And so they were out. He went to dinner, like to grab pizza with some of the kids at like 6:30. And then I told him, you have to be home by 8:30. It's a school night and you have to come home alone. And sure enough, he showed up with two other kids. And he was like, well, they have to charge their phone before they walk home. It was like, that was the excuse. I don't know if it was real. But all I kept thinking is, you know, I want these kids to feel welcome here. I don't want to be like the annoying mom. But you have to leave. Like, you have to go home.
It's so funny. So we're the house that.
So, but that's,
I know.
Right. So what do you do? I kept going and I was like, guys, don't, like, I was trying to be cool, you know, like, I don't want to be like annoying, but I was like, guys, are you supposed to be home? And Jaren's like, Mom. And I'm like, no, I'm sure their parents want them home.
Right. Well, I put it on. So my 16-year-old always has friends over. He hasn't recently because he's at all these parties, which is very nice, because my fridge is empty by the time they leave because it's like, you know, 10 starving 16-year-olds. But having said all that, I'll just text him like I'm going to bed at 10 p.m. So everyone's out by 10. And it's sometimes
I did text him because I didn't want to be annoying. I was like, say goodnight now.
Right. No, it's enough. It becomes enough. And yeah, I've learned that some parents are a little looser about where their kids are and
but
when they have to be home.
It's a school night.
I don't think it matters to some families sometimes.
What do you mean? I don't even understand that.
I don't know.
I mean, I am not super strict, but I have rules. And on a school night, you don't get to be like hanging out until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
Well, some kids don't go to bed as early as your kids do.
Right.
And some
but
kids...
But I also still have a 9-year-old.
No, well, that's why. No, I know. But like when you're 13 going on 14 and it's a beautiful summer evening and we've had rain all the time, I guess some parents were a little like less worried about
but
the
But it's still
bedtime.
A school night.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I was hanging out at my friends' houses at night on school nights. It's not a weekend. It was a Sunday night. We have to start the week right.
Right. No, no, I hear you.
So it's new for me. This is like a new phase. So that's so if anybody has any advice or thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Moms at the moms.com where you can tweet us at the moms. We want to know. We want to hear what you do because it is tricky. It's like that balance of being like still the cool mom that's not annoying but having rules.
No, I know. And it's so funny. I literally was like, there's no mom manual because I had two things happen this weekend. I was trying to have a positive conversation with my middle daughter who's 12 about, you know, good eating habits and choices and physical activity and it in
why?
All and she totally digested it as total criticism. And, you know, we went for a really nice walk in the park.
But how did it come up?
Well, because she eats a lot of junk. Oh. And she'll go to the deli after school with her friends and she'll buy junk. And her body is going through puberty and changes and she's really got to feed
it
right.
But it's not a weight issue. This is a
no,
health issue.
No, right. My kids,
Right.
But so, yeah, they can eat whatever they want, but I need them to eat and make smart food decisions. And so I just was trying
Sunbasket.
Right, exactly. Seriously. I mean, it's not, who are you kidding? But it was interesting. So I tried to be empowering and positive, and all that sort of was heard was criticism. And so, yeah, Denise, I'm looking to you and other moms. How do you give your kids constructive criticism or have a sort of healthy conversation without them taking it as criticism?
I think the best thing to do is not have the conversation when there's something happening.
Interesting.
Right? So
like late. Well, that's
like
why
if
I
you
thought,
were,
but
if,
wait,
if
that's
it was
why
on
we
the
went
heels.
For a pot. We went and got a bagel and it was a beautiful
well, bagels
morning.
Aren't healthy. So it's like,
no, they are for my kids. It's more like the Takis and Doritos.
Right.
Like,
so I'm saying you want to have it when it's not top of mind where it didn't just happen. You know, it's like, call a family meeting and say, okay, we're going to have a talk about everyone's eating habits. And it's not just about one person. It's about all of us as a family.
Right.
Right. And we're going to try to do, you know, it's not always easy. We can't always be perfect.
No, I know.
But we're going to try to have, you know, you want to have these conversations when it's not like something specific to one person.
I guess so.
And when it's like all of us, especially with food, I think food is so tricky. It's like, we're going to do this as a family. You know, we're all going to try to make healthier food choices.
Yeah, I know, but it is.
That's my two cents.
Thank you.
There's my mom manual to you today.
I love it.
Okay.
I need more mom manual. I mean, it was so upsetting. And I kept explaining that daddy and I are a work in progress still, and he always wants to make me better, and I want to strive to do better. You know, at 45, I'm still learning, and, you know, Lily, you're only 12. It went so sour, and I was so upset about it, so I'll try again.
There
maybe.
You go. Okay, but we want to hear from you. So we're at moms@themoms.com, and you can tweet us at the moms on Twitter. And now we are going to be joined by the founder of evite.com, who is now launching a new app that is so exciting, and I cannot wait to try it as soon as the show is over.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Selena. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. So we are joined now by Selena Tobacco Walla, the founder of Gixo and the founder also of Evite. So we were just talking about your incredible
success.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know anybody that hasn't used Evite.
That was a long time ago.
Well, it was a long time of you, for you, but for us, it's still like, it's a lifesaver.
I mean,
how did you have the idea to start that? And I know that you're very involved with Girls Who Code, so it's really exciting for us to talk to you because we're so fascinated that this is now your second tech company.
Yeah, so with Evite, you know, we started Evite from our dorm room in college. So as I said, it was 2 decades ago.
Wow.
And really, we were just at that time excited about starting a company. And, you know, we started the company in 97. We built out Evite. My co-founder and I were both 2 computer scientists, and we were just passionate about building products. And we built Evite in the summer of 1998. We had this $200 server underneath our desk, and we were doing contracting work for other people to try to pay our bills because we had just graduated. And as the story goes, I'm very, very clumsy. And so I literally tripped over the cable for the Evite server, and our phone rang. And someone called us and said, "What happened to Evite?" So we plugged it back in, and we looked at it, and we were just amazed by how much it had grown. And so, you know, the cool thing with Evite was it had that sort of viral, where you would invite somebody, they would see the product and get exposed to it. And it was just a different time, but it was, you know, it had that ability to sort of grow into a really nice business.
Well, and thank you, because we used it when we started our business to invite all of our moms and guests across the country to our celebrity events. Now, of course, we use it also
awesome.
For our kids' birthday parties. But really, I mean, we were able to launch our business in a very simple, easy way because of what you built.
That's so cool.
And so now it's really amazing to see you sold it to Ticketmaster, and you still had that itch to create more products.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, I sold it to Ticketmaster and actually worked abroad in London for a number of years with Ticketmaster, which was awesome. And then I came back to Silicon Valley in 2009 to work at SurveyMonkey, which was an amazing experience. I was the president and CTO there. We grew the business from 20 million to 200 million, and it was just awesome. But, you know, I had the itch both to get back to something smaller and start something again, and also as many people know, the CEO of SurveyMonkey passed suddenly. And for me, it was this wake-up call around, you know, health and wellness and how can I use technology to really make change. When I was at SurveyMonkey, I had I had my 2 kids. I was commuting to Palo Alto every day, and I just never found time to exercise. And it just never felt like it was anything I could get done. And so that's partially what inspired me to start Gixo.
Okay, and so hi, it's Melissa. I want to ask you a question. When you sold your business, how did you know it was the right time the first time you sold it? I mean, people have been talking a lot about, you know, this to us lately, not that we're for sale, but, you know, how did you know? Did you have a gut instinct? The number was right? You felt you needed it?
Or you're like, oh, it's Ticketmaster,
right?
Obviously.
No,
or you needed, like, how did it happen? And what's that process?
It was a crazy time in history. So if you guys, in November of 2000, the entire bubble burst, right? So Everybody, we had taken $37 million of capital for online invitations. And it sounds crazy, and it was crazy. And so the thing was, is we came to a point where we realized we weren't going to be able to, and same with our investors, when the bubble burst, you weren't going to be able to get the return. And so we got to a point, we were very unique. We actually put an advertisement in the Wall Street Journal in November of 2000 and said, Evite is for sale.
So brilliant.
And we ended up with a couple of bidders, and we got excited about Ticketmaster, both because of the people buying it. You know, obviously the valuation was the important thing for the investors. But for me, they wanted to keep the business. They wanted to grow the product and have it tied and have it be part of their media strategy. And so that was something I was excited about.
Well, by the way, like the fact that you guys had the creative thought to take an ad out, I mean, that's pretty ballsy and amazing at the same time.
It was a very unique time in history when the markets had totally crashed. And that was a huge lesson for me, and been a huge lesson here with GIXO, which is, you know, you have to be prepared for those ups and downs of the market.
Talk to us a little bit about GIXO and how you actually, I don't want to say created it, but got, you know, what is the funding or the fundraising process for you now that you're sort of very established?
But it's a different time.
Yes, absolutely. But you're very established as a female entrepreneur in the tech space. So is it an easy phone call, or you still have to really push and make the rounds?
So for us, the first thing we wanted to do was validate the business idea, because we got excited about this idea of using technology to create a disruptive experience that would give people access to the product. So just to backtrack in terms of what the product is, GIXO is live coached fitness classes right from your phone, but at a $20 price point for unlimited classes.
And so it's really affordable for anybody who wants to work out.
Affordable. When you think about the Barry's, the Soul Cycles, any of those experiences, it's $30 a class. And so for most people across the U.S., they can't actually afford that, and or they don't have access to some of those experiences. And so we thought, can you build this amazing experience, one that is more entertaining, more engaging, and more fun, and have that to get people moving? Because we had done, when we started, we did this huge amount of customer research. And when we talked to people, and we said, okay, why don't you exercise? And I was obviously in that bucket for many years. And people kept saying lack of time. And I was like, okay, you make time for things, you know, that you enjoy. And the second was lack of motivation. And when we peeled back the onion on that, we got the same thing. It was exercise is boring. And so we looked at what are the things people stick with. And it was amazing. If you look at the people who stick to exercise, 65% of them go to classes. And we're like, okay, this is the thing that lets people go. There's these awesome coaches, there's this amazing music, and then there's this participant community that's cheering you on. And so we're like, okay, this is something. But we were unsure if you could deliver that experience via a mobile phone and have it be just as amazing. And so we prototyped it. So we didn't take funding for a little bit. We basically, you know, my co-founder coded a bunch, and then we got a guy in, you know, in Asia and had him help us. And we basically built a prototype. And we recruited people off Facebook, and we tested the product with a couple hundred people. And I talked to almost every single one of them to see how their experience was. And it was after that that we got the confidence that, okay, this is something we want to go fundraise on.
It's amazing. I'm looking at it now.
And you make it sound so easy, but I think it's because this is your wheelhouse, which is the tech and digital space. And we're going to talk to you after our show today, because we are in how do I say it so I don't say it?
We could use some advice. But listen, I'm looking at your app right now, and it's unbelievable. It's 15-minute classes, 25-minute classes, 40-minute classes. It tells you what the class is, what you need. It tells you who's attending the class, which is so cool. So it's also a little bit of it has that social feeling to it as
Absolutely. And the thing that I did want to answer your question in terms of the fundraising side, because I do think, so once we had the prototype and we had validated the business, then we did go out and do a process to raise money. And we took it in the end from Greylock, from Reid Hoffman, who's on our board. And that was sort of, you know, he had the balance of experience that my co-founder and I didn't have. So my co-founder and I, I've always done consumer businesses. I've always used technology to try to help people in the real world. But one of the key things about this product is we knew we needed the community. We knew we needed to build something where people felt welcome. And Reid obviously was the founder of LinkedIn, and he knew how to create those social networks. And so when you're looking for that fund, if you're looking for an investor, it's important to make sure that you know what you're trying to get out of them, and vice versa, that you're creating that good partnership.
It's so fascinating. Now, I know that you do a lot of work also with Girls Who Code, and you come from that background as well. For parents out there who want to get their kids into, especially young women, into technology, what advice would you give, and what should they be doing on their own right now to learn?
So the thing is that there's so much research out there that shows that girls especially get turned off from coding and math around 11 and 12 years of age. And so I personally find it very important. I have an 8-year-old girl. I find it very important to expose her and get her that confidence into the technology. So I'm not a big proponent of screen time and watching TV. I just don't think they're doing anything. But what I do have her do is scratch code.org. And it's how do you start exposing them to some, and we only do a half an hour a week about, but how do you start exposing them to the fact that they can use technology to build and make something? I mean, you think about girls, they love building and making. So why not expose them to do that on the tech side as well? And for me, that's what I think is important, because the biggest thing when you look at the research, I'm on the I spend a little more time with Stanford as well. I'm on the diversity committee for the engineering, trying to figure out how do we get the ratios right. And one of the biggest things, if you look at some of the research that you ask girls, they say that they didn't feel as confident, you know. And so the thing is, how do we give our girls that confidence when they walk into a class that they can do it? And to me, that's the biggest thing that I feel is important.
How did you get it? How did you start?
So, you know, it was from my dad. So my dad was SBU president at EDS. And so I got exposed to technology and computers early. He started off as a punch card programmer and worked his way up. I saw his journey, but he exposed me to technology, and I just got excited to it and interested in it. And then my mom carted me to, you know, summer coding camps in all these, you know, odd places in New Jersey. But, you know, it was sort of that fortune that I was able to gain that confidence early.
Well, good for your parents and good for you. And tell us what the name is coding.org.
So there's code.org and scratch.
Code.org.
So
okay. Cause I'm going to get my boys starting on it too, because that's important as well.
It's great. And they're like, and the thing that I love about like the code.org as an example, they have a coding game, which is like you're coding, but you're building it with Frozen, you know, so they're creating the stories for the girls. And I love that. They have boys ones as well, but it's a great site.
Wow. It's fascinating. Well, I can't wait. I think we have to go because you have a 12:30 class that I'm dying to try.
Oh my goodness.
But it is so fascinating. We're so grateful to you and all the incredible work that you've done that has allowed our business to succeed. And also we can't wait to follow what you do with Gixo and more. It's really fascinating.
And I love your podcast. So keep it up.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And
for
everyone
joining
go us. to your app store, and it's GIXO, and download it. It's $20 a month, and it's unlimited classes, 15 minutes, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, 25 minutes. You have no excuse. There's nobody that's intimidating when you walk into a room. There's nothing that you can't do because it's just you with this class. So everyone give it a try. Thank you so much to Selena. That was incredibly fascinating. And it's true. We really did start our business using Evite.
I'm totally in awe of that woman. I mean, I it's like she just went for it in such a way.
She makes me want to go code, Melissa. We can go start our own coding.
I know. And I'm just thinking back to 1998. Like,
what were you doing in 1998 while she was changing technology?
I mean, I was logging on to like...
We were chasing like... news stories.
98? I was still familiarizing myself with the internet.
I know.
Think about it.
I didn't even know. It was like, what were they called? All those different web browsers that don't exist anymore.
I know. Wow. Oh my God.
I know. Anyway, well, that was great. Okay. So the moms do your homework. So we learned something very fascinating from her, which I find, which I can't wait to do, which is to go to code.org and try to sit with your kitchen. She only does it 30 minutes a week, so it's not overwhelming. So that is a... I'm passing along her mom's to your homework as my own.
I'll jump in with that too. There you go. I don't have any homework. Homework is probably actually, I'm going to take my homework as advice that you just gave me and to try not to have a deep, intense conversation, bouncing off of like a recent situation, just have it in a more natural environment and maybe make it all about the family and not about one child.
I'm glad I could help.
Thanks, babe.
There you go. Let us know how it goes next week. Okay, everybody, have a great week. Follow us on Instagram at The Moms Network and on Twitter, and email us, momsofthemoms.com. Have a good week.